I want to read from Romans tonight. Romans chapter 6, first of all. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Page 1355 in the Black Bibles. Romans 6, verse 4. We have been buried therefore with him by baptism unto death, in order that even as Christ has been raised up from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. And then at the end of that same chapter, the next page, page 1356, page 1356, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the act of favour of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then in chapter 8, just the next page, page 1357, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is then, now, no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God having sent his own Son in likeness of flesh of sin, and for sin has condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law should be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to flesh, but according to Spirit. For they that are according to flesh mind the things of the flesh, they that are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit, life and peace. Yesterday, some of us were giving out leaflets, and some of them on the leaflets said, I want to be free. I want to be free. We all want to be free, don't we? Freedom is a great thing. How wonderful it is to have freedom. We think about freedom of speech. Many questions about that today. We think about freedom from many, many different things. Freedom from serious illness. God is a healer, and we've experienced the blessing of answered prayer recently. But God wants you to be free in the greatest possible way. He wants you to be free, and he wants you to have the joy of knowing real freedom. He wants you to have the joy. We spoke last week in the gospel about joy. We had a weekend of joy last weekend with the baptism. And that's why I wanted to just firstly look at this first passage that speaks to us about baptism. We have been baptized therefore with him by baptism unto death, in order that even as Christ has been raised up from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. As sinners, we are subject to the effect of death. The soul that sins, it shall die. Because we're sinners, and we're all in that same category, we all have death hanging over us. Spiritual death and physical death. Spiritual death is far more important, far more serious than physical death. Spiritual death is the final death that affects everyone who dies in their sins. The final second death that the Bible tells us about. The wages of sin is death. We're going to come on to in a moment. But as sinners, we all have death hanging over us as a result. But God wants to give you newness of life. He wants to give you a new life in him, dear friends. That's the wonder of the joy of the gospel. That's the beauty of the gospel tonight, that he wants to give you new life. Even as Christ has been raised up from among the dead, that newness of life is possible because Jesus has been raised from the dead. What power there is in his resurrection, dear friends. Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross for you and for me. He died, he deserved nothing. He deserved not to die. He died the death that you and I deserved. He died on the cross for the sins so rightfully, the punishment so rightfully due to you and me. He died on the cross, but has been raised again. He's been raised up from death, even as Christ has been raised up from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. Do you know, in this world, there's nothing that really is truly new, is there? The longer you live, sometimes you get the sense that we've seen it all before. News stories, the bad things that happen in the world. The history of this world is a history of bad things happening to people. Sin has affected the world, hasn't it? Sin has affected the world in so many different ways. Viruses, wars, conflict, strife. The scriptures tell us that there is nothing new under the sun. It's the same old things that come out time and time again in man's world. He doesn't have the ability to create anything new. People talk about turning over a new leaf, or turning over a new page, or a new era, and then eventually, sooner or later, the same problems start coming back up again. Whatever they are, in society, or amongst families, or many, many other ways. And yet God tonight, dear friends, is offering you newness of life. How do we have that newness of life? By coming alone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is alone found in Him. We had a baptism recently and we celebrated the fact that someone had put their faith and trust, Tracy had put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and made a confession of faith in Him. She gave a testimony, a wonderful testimony of her faith in Him. And that's the same with everyone who is baptized. Same as everyone who puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They receive newness of life. The words of Jesus are very, very special. In some Bibles, they're shown in red. And one of the things that Jesus said is, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You could have a preaching just on that one saying, that one sentence. But Jesus has come that you might have life. And in this verse, we have newness of life. God has created, God can give you a new life if you trust in Him. If you come to God in your sins and in repentance for your sins and put your faith and trust in what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross in bearing your sins in His own body on the tree, recognizing that He was nailed to Calvary's cross for the bad and evil things that you and I have done, recognizing that He was there in our place, we can have true newness of life. What joy there is in knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we have eternal life, a life which cannot be taken from us. The physical life will go. Our physical life can be taken from us. But every true believer has an eternal life, a life which cannot be taken from you. There are very, very few things. In fact, there's nothing in this world that you can have which cannot be taken from you. And yet Jesus can give you a newness of life and an eternal life which cannot be taken from you. Neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you want to read more about that, it's the end of Romans chapter 8. So these three chapters, Romans 6, 7 and 8, teach us a great deal about the newness of life, the new life that we have in Jesus if we're Christians, if we've put our faith and trust in what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross. The whole of Romans tells us in detail about how to become a Christian and how to have that newness of life. But this is so that we would walk in the newness of life. We ask Jesus into our heart, into our life as Lord and Saviour. We ask Him to make us new. We ask Him to clean us up and make us new. God cleans us up by washing us in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Washes away the sins that we've done, the evil that we've done in our life. One of the young children in Sunday school told us the other week, last week, that she's prayed to Jesus and asked him to wash away the naughtinesses that she's done. How wonderful that is. It's as simple as that. He alone has the power to cleanse you from sin and give you the joy of sins forgiven. This is such a famous verse, isn't it, at the end of Romans 6. The wages of sin is death, but the act of favour of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wages are what we deserve. We might get our wages at the end of the week or the month, but wages is something that we get paid for what we've done. We like to receive wages. Sometimes they're less than we think, less than we expect, but we receive wages because we've done some work. God has to give out wages of sin. The wages of sin, dear friends, is what we've, as a result of what we've done. The things that we have done wrong in our lives. The things that we have done wrong includes the sins of the thought too. Thinking the wrong things. Desiring what belongs to someone else. Telling lies. Breaking the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments tell us that we would honour our father and our mother, not to tell lies. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All of those commandments which show to us how clearly we have broken them. That's the sin that shows that we have broken God's law. We've broken God's commandments. And the result of that, dear friends, is death. But the good news in the gospel is that God wants to give you something. The act of favour of God. If you do someone a favour, it's not because they've deserved it. You do it because they've done it because you do it because you want to show kindness to them. That's what a favour is, isn't it? An act of favour. Kindness. God wants to show you kindness tonight, dear friends. Kindness in giving you eternal life. Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is not available anywhere else. There's no other way of getting eternal life except through the Lord Jesus Christ and coming to him and asking him to be our Lord and Saviour. There is nothing that you can get in this world that is more valuable than eternal life. The world offers lots of things, doesn't it? Lots of things that money can buy. Eternal life is far more valuable than anything this world can give you. And that is a joy. That is a joy that goes on into eternity. It is a joy that cannot be bought with money. It is a joy that cannot be bought with anything that you can find in this world. And God is offering it to you tonight. He's offering it to you free, because there's nothing that you can do. I was reading Isaiah 55 that tells us about God is giving out his blessings and grace free, without money and without price. There is nothing that you can do to earn God's salvation. There is nothing you can pay to God to receive forgiveness. God is offering it to you. He offers it to those that recognise their need. To realise their need of being forgiven. Who realise their need of their hopelessness without Jesus. And he offers it to those that repent. That means to turn from sin and say that they recognise that they're sorry for their sins that they've done. And turn from their wicked ways. And put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he has done at Calvary's cross. Eternal life. That is what's on offer tonight, dear friends. Do you know that eternal life for yourself? Have you received eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? That's the most important question I can ask you tonight. Have you received eternal life? It's still available. God has waited over this earth for a long, long time. And as we say many, many times, there are so many signs in the world today to show to us that the end of time is coming. The end of the day of grace is coming. The end of God waiting upon men, women and children in the gospel. The end is very near. We do not know when it is, but we know that there are many signs in the Bible that show to us that the end is coming soon. The wickedness of man is rising in the earth. There are many, many signs of the enemy working evil behind the scenes. That makes the gospel all the more urgent. And that's why once more we offer you tonight, or God offers you tonight, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then in chapter 8, there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is a very strong word, isn't it? I think condemnation is when you're in front, perhaps if you're in front of a judge and you've been found guilty of a very severe crime, and the judge condemns you to prison for a very long time. Imagine the awfulness of what condemnation must mean in that situation. The condemnation that we are under because of our sins is worse than that. Because we've sinned and we've disobeyed against a holy God, we deserve condemnation in hell for all eternity. Hell is God's prison with no chance of escape. We deserve that condemnation. But there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Those who have put their trust and their faith in Christ Jesus and the work that he has done at Calvary's cross. The work has all been done at Calvary's cross. Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus did a work at Calvary which cannot be added to or taken away from. And it's the only work that is sufficient for you and me to be washed clean from our sins. He was nailed to a cross. His blood was shed. And he cried at the end of 3 hours of darkness, "It is finished." Read it. If you haven't read it already, do read it for yourself. It's in any of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Very clear accounts of what Jesus has done in dying on Calvary's cross for you and me. And for those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus, there is no condemnation. They are able to be received into heaven on the basis of what Jesus has done and what he has done alone. We have been set free. Those who are in Christ Jesus, in verse 2, have been set free from the law of sin and death. Someone told me yesterday that they were very afraid with what's happening in the world today. And understandably so. There's many reasons to be afraid about how terrible things are in the world. But if we are set free from the law of sin and death through the Lord Jesus, we know that our future is secure. We have no reason to be afraid in that way. We are afraid of things from time to time. But we know that we are not afraid of sin and death because we have been set free. How wonderful is that? That's why the gospel is called the good news. And this chapter is so full. We haven't got time to look into it in depth tonight. But I'd really recommend that you read chapters 6 and 7 and 8. Chapter 8 is a very special chapter. And it tells us at the end of this chapter that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the joy that you and I can have when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, in him alone. If we put our trust in him, we are born again. We're given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one of the persons of God who dwells in the believer and makes the scriptures living and real to us. When we read the scriptures as a Christian, we read them and know that they are real. Ask God to forgive you from your sins. Put your faith and trust in what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross and ask him to give you the Holy Spirit. God is pleased to give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. And you will have a joy that lasts forever, no matter what happens in this life. If someone steals everything you have, if someone takes away many, many other things, you still have a joy in the Lord Jesus. And that's a joy that's beyond anything this world can offer. That, dear friends, is the way to blessing. And I commend it to you tonight. Call upon the Lord Jesus while he is available. He won't always be available, dear friends. We're reminded time and time again, aren't we, in the scriptures, that the Lord Jesus will call his people from this earth. We're not here, the gospel will not go out forever. God will not wait forever. He waits in grace with hands outstretched to bless. But the day of grace, the time of the gospel going out, is shortly coming to an end. That's why the gospel is urgent, dear friends, so that you might put your trust in him and know that you are safe with him forever, for his name's sake.
Amen.